Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So I'd like you to first of all turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's been providential tonight. We've prayed into families because that is at the heart of the decay in our nation. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're given a mandate to pray for our nation. I want to begin. I'm going to risk just reading a few paragraphs to you before we read the scripture. This is the National Day of Prayer Proclamation for 2018. It isn't the President's proclamation, but it's the National Day of Prayer Organization's proclamation for this year with the theme. And the theme is that we together stand in unity this year as God's people. I think some of you will be at the prayer breakfast on Thursday morning. Dick Foth, one of our own, is going to be the speaker at the prayer breakfast. He spent a lot of time mentoring political leaders spiritually in Washington, D.C. It's going to be a fantastic moment. Morning, and we'll be praying for our city and for our state and for our federal government on Thursday morning as well. Here's what the National Day of Prayer put out. The National Day of Prayer was created in 1952 by a joint resolution of Congress and signed into law by President Harry S. Truman. President Truman, the man from Missouri, of course. In 1988, that law was unanimously amended by both the House and Senate and signed into law by President Ronald Reagan on Thursday, May 5th, 1988, designating the first Thursday of May as a National Day of Prayer. Every president since 1952, which was the year I was born, actually, every president since 1952 has signed the National Day of Prayer Proclamation. Prayer brings people together. Prayer builds bridges between opposing persons and even political parties. Prayer reminds us that we are created in God's image and He desires us to represent Him wherever we go. Prayer brings unity. In 2018, our theme will be Pray for America-Unity, based upon Ephesians 4:3, which challenges us to mobilize unified public prayer for America, making every effort, Ephesians 4:3 says, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. They go on to say, our hope is that as individuals, as churches, and spiritual leaders in America, we will humble ourselves and unify in prevailing prayer for the next great move of God in America. We can come together in clear agreement that this is our greatest need. Can I hear an amen in the house? That a great move of God in America is our greatest need. They say we can come together in clear agreement that that's our greatest need. We can become a visible union, standing together in prayer. We can pray more than ever before and practice extraordinary prayer for the next great move of God in America that will catapult the message of the gospel nationally and internationally. That's awesome. They end up with a quote by Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who recently was president of the Southern Baptists. I met Ronnie Floyd. I was representing the Assemblies of God at a Southern Missouri Baptist Conference over here in the Exposition Center. And I had an opportunity to talk to him for about a half hour before I then went into the service and he preached. And I heard this Baptist preacher preach with passion on Acts 1:8. And he called them on and said, we need a move of God. And Ronnie Floyd, at the end of this statement by the National Day of Prayer, they quote Ronnie Floyd, where he said, there is no great movement of God that has ever occurred that does not begin with the extraordinary prayer of God's people. So I love what we do on Sunday nights here. Appreciate people like John Mampa, who's helped us nationally in the Assemblies of God network across our country with other organizations. There is a prayer movement that is at least gestating right now in America. And God is just calling people from every group we affiliate with as a fellowship in the Assemblies of God, every outside group. It seems like God is just calling people to be praying. There's a little outline I have that I've used for years from 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to use it to outline as we read through the first seven or eight verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's built around L-O-R-D, Lord. This may just be a little memory thing for when you pray for our nation. Paul tells us to pray in an outline that L-O-R-D remembers us. First of all, L for leaders. He says in verse 1, I urge first of all that petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. For kings and all those in authority. So beyond praying for pastors, beyond praying for spiritual leaders, beyond praying for families, we pray for political leaders. We pray for kings. This is remarkable to me because the emperor of the Roman Empire would end up taking Paul's head off his body. I mean, and yet he said, I want you to pray for kings and all those in authority. Pray with prayers, pray with intercessions, pray with petitions, and if this doesn't get you, pray with thanksgiving. Oh, my. Even when your party's not in power, pray with thanksgiving, at least for the office, if not the person. And it becomes clear from the rest of the verses that especially no matter who fits the office has God-given authority, God-ordained authority, at least the office does. Otherwise, society be in chaos. So God's concerned that we pray for leaders. I don't know what you think about President Trump, but pray for him. I don't know if you liked President Obama before President Trump, but I hope you prayed for him and gave thanks that we have leaders. And this is part of our changing the world. We pray for those in authority. We pray for kings and all those in authority. I'm praying President Trump has a Road to Damascus experience. He's got a ton of believers around him. My own sister and her husband were in the White House on Friday. It's a wild story. But they met Jared Kushner. They didn't meet the president, but they were there because it looks like we will be opening up faith-based programs in our prisons again, federally funded. And they came out of there saying, you know what, the door is just opening wide with all of the spiritual influence around the president for opening up to the faith community, whereas those doors were closing incredibly rapidly up to recently. And we need to keep praying for our president. I pray for President Trump that he have a road to Damascus experience. Some people prophetically have felt he would have that, even from well before he was elected. And may that happen. May that happen. May our president encounter Jesus in a powerful, life-giving way. May our nation be influenced by godly leadership again. So that's our first assignment, to pray for presidents. That's L, pray for leaders. And then O, pray for order in society. Order in society as opposed to chaos. So going to L-O-R-D. L for leaders, O for order. Because that's where he goes in next in verse 2. For kings and all those in authority. Why? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul understood something. Even though the Roman Empire was feeding Christians to lions, even though they would eventually execute him, they did know that the Roman Empire kept a certain order to society. They built great roads. They had the famous Pax Romana, the Roman peace. It was brutally imposed, but it was a peace that kept the Roman world was extremely unusual. The role of the Roman government is as reprehensible as most aspects of the Roman Empire are to us. They did keep a certain order during the lifetime of the Apostle Paul, during the time of Christ, during the time of Paul, and at least a generation or two after that, that allowed the gospel to propagate with remarkable speed. The Romans unified the then known world with the Greek language, and they built roads that allowed transportation that had been unheard of in previous civilizations in that part of the world, and they imposed an order. It was a brutal order. Sometimes they walk into towns and crucify the first five men they came across just for crowd control. You know, they had a brutal way. That's horrible, evil stuff. But yet they kept an order. And Paul says, we need to pray for leaders, because there's something that can flourish when there's not chaos in culture, when we can live quiet and peaceable lives. Sometimes God has to shake nations up as well for people to come to him. But he's saying God's ideal would not be to shake us to the core. His ideal is we pray for leaders who will have wisdom to govern in a way in which, in his words, we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, so that there'd be the freedom for his church to grow and prosper. So we pray L for leaders. We pray O for order. May God keep order in our society. May we not see mayhem and out of control chaos mark our future as a nation. But may there be order. May there be peaceful and quiet lives. I thank God. I mean, just thinking today, living in Springfield, you know, this is a manageable city compared to most that I've lived in. And thank God for a rule of law. Thank God for order that we have that many nations don't have. What a privilege we have to do that. And let's not take it for granted. Let's keep praying it. And then, so L for leaders, O for order, R for revival. He says, because, verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior, and he goes right to redemptive purpose. This pleases God our Savior, that we pray for leaders and we live quiet and peaceful lives. It pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You see, we don't look at our nation through the lens of the evening news. We look at our nation through the lens of the gospel. What's going to advance the gospel? I listened to Andy Rotz's sermon last Sunday morning on my way back from Louisville on Wednesday, and I love the way he put it. Let's not let the evening news drive our perception of Jesus' global mission. Let's not let that happen. We always look at things in a different way as Spirit-filled believers. We don't look at the world politically. We don't do that kind of thing. We look at what is going to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, this is God's will, that all people come to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. And this now has been witnessed to at the proper time. And so we pray for renewal. We pray for revival. We pray for redemption. Whatever our word you choose, let's pray for spiritual renewal to come to our nation, as we do always, often. And then D, L-O-R-D, leaders, order, renewal, and D for devotion. I pray that we'll be a nation, we'll be a church in the nation that's devoted to prayer. I love how he puts it in verse 8, therefore, in light of all this, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. In the Message paraphrase version of the New Testament, it says this: since prayer is the bottom line of all of this, what I want mostly is for men to pray, not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. Now that's worth one more time. Not sure you got it the first time there. Since prayer is the bottom line of all of this, what I want mostly is for men to pray, not shaking angry fists at the enemies, but raising holy hands to God. That's the hope of our nation. And part of what I pray for in praying for our nation is help your church to pray again. Help our prayer meetings not to be empty anymore. Help us to have a devotedness to prayer that nothing can distract us from. Help us have a desperation to pray. You pick your D word. Devotion, desperation. Just let us pray, Lord. Let us be determined to pray and to seek your face. And I don't know if I know how to pray, but I love what E.M. Bounds says. Is the church producing those who have diplomas from the great university of prayer? He asked that question. Is the church like a university of prayer that's putting out graduates? Praying, he said, is the best school in which to learn to pray. Prayer is the best dictionary to define the art and nature of praying. How do you learn how to pray? You just do it. What's the hope of our nation? We just do it. You don't have to be talented, but just the Spirit of God praying through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Hope McDonald put it this way. We can read all the books that we have ever been written about prayer, but until we actually choose by an act of our will to pray, we will never learn. So listen, we get to learn. We get to grow in prayer as we do prayer. The best way to learn prayer is not to read a book, it's to do it. Is to get on your knees and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray. I don't think I have a heart to pray today, but would you help me? Would you pray through me? Would you? And I'm going to set myself with a holy devotion and determination to pray. And so this is where Paul goes. L, pray for leaders. O, pray for order. R, pray for renewal in the land as people come to Christ. And D, let's just stay devoted. Let's just pray. We'll be devoted and desperate and determined to pray. Amen.